You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
It'll do. If I slide off on the floor, just pray for me. I'll keep on preaching.
Just wave and I'll get you a chair.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. I started doing all of our services on the back of Wednesday night because I cannot stand for very long to minister. But if the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me, I'll be fine. I won't need the stool. Praise the Lord. Go with me this morning to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to use a very familiar scripture this morning for my text. But the Lord's been speaking some things to me that I want to share with you this morning. How many of you know God is good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you know you have conceived a seed?
Yes.
You've been impregnated.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God. I am glad this morning for the seed of God that's in me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Sister,
there's a chair there if you want.
Okay. Sister Susan, now we're talking this morning, you know, the flow between Lisa and Lynn the other night on the broadcast that they were making for the TV tapes. And, you know, there's nothing better than that flow of the Holy Ghost that gets that pull, you know. So if you guys will pull from me this morning, I'll dump out whatever the Lord puts in my mouth to say. Hallelujah. But I can't preach a lick if the Holy Ghost don't show up. But I thank God for his presence in my life today. I want to start with Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And like I said, it's a very familiar scripture, but I'm going to liken liken Mary this morning to the church. So as we're speaking, I'm speaking as the church this morning. How many of you know she is the mother of the church?
Amen.
So she is the church. So verse 30 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Aren't you glad this morning that you found favor with him? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning that he chose you?
Yes.
You know, just as he chose Mary, he chose you. He said, "You didn't choose me. I've chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit might remain." So we're a chosen people this morning,
yes. A
chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Chosen of God. And we have found favor in his sight this morning. Hallelujah. And it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Hallelujah. How many of you know that when we conceive the Christ in the earth, how many of you know it starts way down deep inside? Hallelujah. How many of you can remember your birthing into the kingdom of God? That time when the Holy Spirit began to draw you and woo you and pull you to himself and pour out his spirit in your life. There was just something you couldn't understand about it. And she goes on to say, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Everybody say, no end.
No end.
This is not going to run out, church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is not going to stop anyway halfway through, you know, down the road someplace. The scripture says, of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I hate a dry preacher, and my medicine makes me dry. Thank you, Terry. And Mary's response was to the whole thing was, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How many of you know this thing that's happening to us and to the church today has nothing to do with a man?
Absolutely.
It has everything to do with the Holy Ghost. Because
yes.
It was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. Hallelujah. This man has no part in this decision. No, there's no discussion, nothing about it. You know, when I got saved, you know, somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved? I didn't know how to explain it.
Amen.
I couldn't describe it to anybody. I couldn't get away from it. I mean, every time I sat down, I had to have this Bible in my hand. And it was just a covering of the Holy Ghost, a divine impartation of God in my life, that nothing else seemed as important. And nothing else was as important. But Sister Jenny and I used to get together and have our own prayer meetings. We'd pray sometimes a couple hours, speaking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost poured out upon us. And it was one afternoon when we were praying together that God called me into the ministry. You know that you know that you know. Amen, Sister Colleen. But this seed that's been conceived in us is not from any man. No man could have done for me what the Holy Ghost did. You know, we searched for years. Well, I wasn't too old. I was 26 when I accepted Christ as my Savior. But I really didn't know what I needed. You know, we were raised in an alcoholic home, and the fighting and the carrying on, you know. We had no church background, except us girls would maybe go to the Presbyterian church occasionally or to the Methodist church occasionally. We had a desire. We were on a hunt for something that we didn't even know we were looking for. And so when I knew that Christ came into my heart, you know, I didn't feel like I had to explain it. I like Sister Colleen, I just knew that I knew that I knew. I knew that there was an overshadowing and a coming together of things in my heart, that there was things that left my heart, there was things that came into my heart. There was some bitterness that left my heart, there was some good things that came into my heart. And, you know, as I went on to know the Lord, even in a greater experience, now I'm not saying that man didn't impart anything into my life as far as teaching is concerned. But man did not put anything in me that delivered me and set me free like Jesus did. Hallelujah. You know, and along the way, I'll have to tell you, there was men that tried to sow tares in amongst the wheat.
Yes.
There was people that tried to sow tares in amongst the wheat. When I talk about tares this morning, I'm talking about things that would try to crowd out the word of God or the seed of God that was in my life. But I guess Brother Jack and I was just strong-headed enough that we wanted to know God for ourselves. I didn't want to take somebody else's word for it. So many times the church has been guilty of leaving their Bible lay on the table at home,
yes,
and then listening to what every man said without ever checking it out to find out if it's the truth or not. And, you know, I'm sure there's a measure of truth in every situation, every church, every doctrine that believes in the born-again experience of Jesus Christ. But, you know, the mistake is that we're responsible to know this word for ourselves. And one of the things that Pap's always encouraged you folks to do is to know God for yourself.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who's preaching or who's teaching. You check it out.
Yes.
You know for yourself. You make this thing real in your own life. Go with me to Matthew 13. Because there's all kinds of seed out there, all kinds of things that can interfere and try to destroy the word of God that's in your heart and in your life. Verse 25, I guess, Crystal. Says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, to me, this can go a couple different ways. We are the field of God. You know that this morning. And how many of you know when the seed was sown, it was good seed? Good seed.
Yeah.
And how many of you know God makes us responsible that when we go out to sow, we sow good seed in the field? Now, you can throw seed out here in these briar patches. Some of it might come up. But if you don't put that seed in good ground, it won't bring back to you a harvest. And when you go forth, you be sure that the seed that you're sowing is good seed. And it says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. How many of you know that there's been a spirit of slumber over the church, that men have just taken for granted the blessing and the seed of God that's been imparted to them and to the church as a whole? Man has just kind of gotten into a spirit of slumber where they've just taken for granted. And that's when the tares and things can start coming into your life. When you lose your focus of what you're striving for, when you lose that focus, then it doesn't have to even necessarily be bad things. You know, sometimes we just get caught up in a lot of busy things that can cause us to have the Word of God pushed out of our life. But when I read the scripture here and I think about when they came and sowed tares, to me that speaks of a mixture. There's mixture, good and evil. How many of you know that when Adam and Eve was in the garden, God told them not to eat of the tree of good and evil? In the day that you do, you will die. And so a mixture is nothing but confusion. A mixture is nothing but confusion that comes into your life to try to get you away from the blessings of the Lord. How many of you know God hates a mixture? Amen. He never intended for man to have a mixture of good and evil. God's plan had always been for mankind to continue the seed of God that was birthed in him. You know, when Satan came to Eve and told her, you know, you can eat of this tree, you're not going to die. God knows that whenever you eat this, you're just going to be like him. She didn't realize that she was already like him. See, it will cause you to lose your identity when you start getting mixture in your life. When you start putting things in there that's not pure. Things in there that's not pleasing to God. Things in there that can draw you away from who you are. Confusion comes when, we start accepting any old thing that comes down the road. And I think a lot of times in this message of the kingdom, sometimes we lose our focus on some things that we learned early on. You know, sometimes people throw off on, things that we learned in religion, so to speak. But there were some things that we learned that was disciplined things, that was good things. And, you know, I'm not going to throw out the baby because the water got dirty. I'm going to continue some of those standards that God set up in my life because I just know in me it doesn't work any other way. It doesn't mean it works for everybody else, but I know what works for me. And so, you know, we've got to come to the place where we don't allow just everything to come into our lives or everything, you know, surrounding us, things that just aren't pleasant into our lives. So the moment that she stopped eating this heavenly spiritual food, she started eating from the earthly. Once you get away from walking in the spirit, then you're bound to walk in the flesh. And when you do, these are the things that causes confusion in your life. You know, when they realized they were naked, the Bible says they made fig leaves and sewed and covered themselves. How many of you know that was a false covering? Yes. You know, there's lots of people today that say they're Christians that are hiding amongst the trees of the field, amongst the trees of the garden. Hallelujah. They're hiding they're making a false covering for themselves. But the scripture says, when the Lord called, Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What he was saying there is I hid my true identity. I hid who I really was because I had a false covering on. You know, and ever since that, God has been looking for his image in the earth. God sowed the seed that we could bring forth a man-child into the earth, that Christ could be preeminent in the church. But when we lose sight of our identity, we really don't have the same aggressive drive to produce the Christ in the earth or even in our own lives. So he said he hid himself. When God was looking for him, he was looking for his image. You think he didn't know where Adam was? I believe he did. But what he saw was not the Adam that he had created. Not the Adam that he had created.
I think that when God sees us, he always sees us.
Yes, absolutely.
When my children were little, one time they went to visit grandparents who wanted them to wear a certain bathing suit because they didn't want them to embarrass God. And they ever said, Mom, you think you can really embarrass God? And I said, no, God sees us naked. I think when God saw Adam, he always saw him naked. He sees the inner man. Mm-hmm. What we clothe ourselves on the outside is for everybody else to see.
Yes.
Even if it's clothed in righteousness or clothed in unrighteousness, that's who we want to portray to the world. Now,
right.
what we want to do then is to show what we're putting on the outside mm-hmm. reflects what's on the inside. But God
awesome.
Always sees the created man, the naked
man. Amen.
I don't think he sees any of us and notices what we're wearing. It's not our clothes or the righteousness that we can put in. Because that's our statement to the world. Our statement to him, our soul is bare to him no matter what we think we're covered.
Right.
So God always sees us.
Absolutely. And what we have on the inside usually shows up on the outside.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to show up, whether you're clothed, as Terry said, in righteousness or whether you're clothed in unrighteousness. Whichever one it is, it's going to show up on the outside. He said he hid himself. Have you ever tried to hide from God? Anybody in here besides me? I want to tell you something. There's nowhere you can go to get away from the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. We think we're hiding from God, but as Terry said, God sees us naked anyway. He sees us inside and out. And he's always looking for his image in us and in the earth. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you'll be there. If I make my bed in heaven, you'll still be there. So there's no place that we can go to outrun the presence of God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Verse 35. I'm going to go to verse 42. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entering into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I don't know about you this morning, church, but I believe that when we come in contact with the true seed of God, the true anointing of God, there's something inside of us that begins to leap. There's something inside of us that reaches out. There's something inside of us that begins to stir. There's something inside of us that whether you understand it up here or not, you know it's right here. You know it's in there. And how many times have we heard the Holy Ghost say something to us and something inside of you begin to leap? Hallelujah. Like I said, sometimes it might not be understood with our minds, but I'm telling you something. There's something about our spirit that receives it. Some of you here today have heard the Holy Ghost say things to you that have not yet been birthed. You see, Jesus hadn't yet been birthed when the salutation came, and John began to leap in the womb of Elizabeth. There's things in you today that has not yet been birthed, but you've heard the salutation. You've heard the Holy Ghost speak. There's some of you that God says, write this down on paper and make it a book, whether it be a cookbook or whatever it is. Somebody says, God will say to you, how about inventing this? Dragon hook, for instance. And you put that thing to work and are obedient, and turns out you got a hook. Catches fish and deer. He invented it to drag deer, but had to drag that 45-pound catfish in the boat the other week with it. So you never know when God speaks to you to do something, what it's useful for. And there's sometimes when God speaks to some of you, begin to prophesy or begin to give a word of knowledge or, you know, begin to write a song. You see, there's things in you that's not yet birthed, but they're there. And, you know, I want to call forth those gifts that are in you this morning. Lisa's been telling us for months, look outside of yourself. Step outside of your box. Allow God to broaden your horizons. Loosen your tent stakes and let God bring inside of you what God wants to bring on the outside of you. And there's things that's in every one of you this morning. Whether it's a testimony, whether it's a lifestyle, whatever it is, there's something on the inside of you that has not yet been birthed. But you've heard the salutation. You felt the leap. You felt the groaning. You felt the turning over and the churning inside of you. And the thing it was is, verse 45, it said, Elizabeth's salutation, or her prophecy to Mary, was, blessed is she that believed. And you know, folks, the only thing that hinders your gift from being in operation is you don't believe yet in who you are, and what your ability is, and what your capability is, and that you can do it. We always think, well, what if I can't? Or what if it don't turn out right? Or what if I make a fool of myself? So what if you do? At least you're doing something. At least you're trying. At least you're trying to walk out what God wants to walk out in you. But, you know, we don't have a reputation, so I don't know why we weren't worried about losing it. You see, the only reputation we have is Christ. And we can't lose that. So if you don't have anything, you can't lose it, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something this morning, church. If God says it, you can go to the bank on it.
Amen.
And when that thing leaps inside of you, you know that you know that you know. I've had several people tell me, Pastor Shirley, you need to write a book. Well, I would if I thought I had anything to say. But I've never got to that place yet where I felt like I had anything to say. But one of these days, the Lord just might drop something in there and say, write this down and make it a book. Hallelujah. And I know if he does, I'll know it's him. But in verse 46, down to verse 56, Mary begins here. To begin to worship and to sing the song of the Lord. It's beautiful in the Message Bible, but I didn't write that down for Crystal back there this morning, but I'm going to read it from King James anyway. But it says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Church, it's not enough for us to magnify the Lord in our flesh, but our soul also has to magnify the Lord. We have to bring our heart and our minds together because we have to, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. How many of you this morning can sit here and say how many great things God has done for you? Above and beyond what you ever could think or ask.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Sister Susan and I was talking a little bit this morning. There's things that God has done in my life and in my family that never entered my mind even that he would do or could do. Even in our local assembly. Church, I'm telling you something this morning. If it wasn't for this body of people, this ministry could not function.
Amen.
You see, it's not all out front here.
Amen.
It's not all the preaching and teaching and the singing or any. That's just a small part. It's the ministries that work behind the scenes that nobody really notices. It's the hospitality ministry that sets up all your trips and all your game things and all your dinners and parties and things that we have for the church. It's Patsy and Sterling and her boys that go get the food to bring to the storehouse and unload that big truck on Thursdays and put all the food in there. And it's people that work, it's the people that keep the church nice and clean, that when you come in, you don't have to be ashamed of your church and your surroundings. It's people that are behind the scenes, church, and I don't want to miss anybody because I know there's so many people, the storehouse down there, there's a multitude of people that go through there, and there's people here that give up their Saturdays twice a month to give out the food and touch the lives, pray for the people that come in and touch the lives of everyone they minister to. And so this is not just, this is not just the house church or the house ministry. This church could not function without the rest of this body. It there's so many things that, Sister Chris back there sets up the Wednesday night snack person. But somebody has to take charge of these things. Somebody has to do these things. You know, one thing about the pastor can't do it all. Amen? And it takes us all working together. And it's the same with our youth camps and with conference and all these things. We couldn't do that if it wouldn't be for you guys. We couldn't do that if it wouldn't be for the cake you bake or the pie you make or the dessert or whatever it is. We couldn't do that. We couldn't do that if we didn't have babysitters and if we didn't have counselors, if we didn't have people that sacrifice their time to touch the lives of these young people that come in here. This is a body ministry. I don't want you to ever forget the importance of who you are in this house, because we couldn't do this without you. This is not a one-man show. This is a body ministry. And every one of you are equally important. And it says, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spake to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her home. You know, as I was looking to that, we just need to declare the word of the Lord until it's birthed in people. You know, the thing I like about that whole situation and proclamation that Mary was making in prophecy is the fact that she stayed until the baby was born. Do you realize how important it is this morning to not only have a seed in you, not only to have a seed conceived, but stay in an anointing or in an anointed place, hallelujah, till that thing is birthed in you, until it becomes real to you. You know, you may have felt that quickening spirit, but how many of you know you can be pregnant 2 or 3 months before you feel any life about it? you know. But once you feel the life and feel the movement and feel the salutation of the Lord, then things begin to get more real and more real and more real until you become to your time of deliverance, your time of bringing forth that child. And so, you know, a lot of times people will get the seed of God, but they don't know what to do with it, so they just run out and just do all kinds of things that God didn't send them to do in the first place. And then they wonder why they fall or why they fail. You know, you've got to stay in that place of anointing or that place where the Holy Ghost can deal with you until the thing is birthed in you, until it comes forth. Hallelujah. Until there's life comes out of it. There's got to be life. The world's waiting for the earth to bring forth the Son of God. All creation, the scripture says, is groaning for a manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. To manifest means to appear, to make known his presence. Hallelujah. God's promise is that to the whosoever will, church. To the whosoever will. We have been made stewards of the gospel to take to all creation. Mark 16 tells us of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Not just any gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. So manifest means to appear or to declare Christ. Declare him in the earth. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 says, "And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And you say, well, what is my gift? Whatever you're good at. It's that simple. What is my gift? Whatever you're good at. If you're a good cleaner, that's your gifting. If you're a good speaker, then that's your gifting. If you're a good steward, then that's your gifting. Hallelujah. So your gift is whatever you're good at. If you build good furniture, that's your gifting. If you write pretty songs, that's your gifting. Hallelujah. You don't ever have to wonder, well, I don't have any gifts. Oh, yeah, you do. You're filled with them. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You don't have to preach like me. You don't have to preach like Lisa. You don't have to preach like Lynn. You speak as the ability that God gives you to speak. Hallelujah. You don't have to take a back seat to anybody. God's gifting in you is what people want to see. And whatever they want to see has to be real. It doesn't matter if you say 10 minutes or 20 minutes. What you need to say, what they need to see is the real you with the anointing of God in your life. It's not the amount that you say, it's how you say it. It's the spirit that you deliver it in. It's the anointing that comes with the word of God over your life. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark 4. You know, there's a gifting and a seed that's put with every one of us to bring forth Christ in the earth. A full-grown son. Not all gifts are preaching, as I said earlier. There's a lot of gifts in this body that nobody ever knows. It's always behind the scenes. So our thing is to not let the enemy destroyed the gift of God that's in you. Oh, Mark 4 is where I'm going next. So you can't let the enemy come in and destroy the seed that God's put within you. Somebody said, well, I'm not called to do anything. Well, the need is the call. If you see a need, minister to it. The need is the call.
The key is to find a way to use that gift that God gave you, whatever it is.
Amen.
For his purpose.
Amen.
We
that makes sure that he's made manifest, that he is glorified, that he is, that we speak as an oracle of God, so that see, what we're bringing forth is Christ in the earth, church. And as I said earlier, the whole creation is groaning for a manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4. There's a seed that's growing secretly in the church. Let's go to verse 26 of Mark chapter 4. It says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how." We can't see that seed growing. Brother Andy was over at my house the other evening. We were sitting on the porch, and he said, "You know, I planted my garden 2 days ago. I don't know why it ain't up yet." Joking. He was joking. But how many of you know sometimes we want instant gratification on everything we do? Sometimes the seed that we plant takes a little while before it starts to grow, before it starts to be manifested, before it can produce any fruit. But it says, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what we're waiting for? Somebody else to gather it. Jesus said, you know, the harvest is white. The harvest is ready. Pray ye that he would send laborers forth into the field. We always wait for somebody else to do it. Maybe you will only ever harvest one soul in your whole life, but that's one that's accounted to you. And I want to tell you something else that you might not realize. Everything that you do in this church, every bit of money you put in the offering, every pie you bake, or every load of food you bring in, or every time you sweep the floor, or every time you pick up trash that somebody else dropped, whatever the blessing of this ministry and this church is, you're a part of that. Amen. That's put down to your account.
Yes, it is.
Do you realize that this morning?
Hallelujah.
That's put down to your account.
Glory, glory.
Whatever the leadership's blessing is, falls on you. You know, Brother Jack and I got prophesied to when we first started the church. And I think it was Brother Alan Arrowwood that ministered to us and said to us that he was going to bless us and bless this and bless everyone that joined themselves to us. And I've seen it happen, Sister Wilna. I've seen it happen. I know that God's word is true.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, that's probably been 30 years ago. But I never will forget that when he said to us, God's going to bless you and everybody that attaches themselves to you. And I praise God for that this morning. I praise God for what I've seen him do for the folks in this church, for the blessings that I've seen, for the places God's taken us, for the times that God's been so faithful to us.
Yes.
When we thought we were walking all by ourselves, he was carrying us, Sister Wilna. And so you're all a part of that harvest. But I believe it's already white to harvest right now. I believe that God's wanting us to go forth and not miss any opportunity to witness. Now, there's times when God just kind of holds back and says, no, they're not ready to receive you yet. You'd be casting your pearl before swine. But there's times when God puts a real anointing on you and says, tell them about Jesus. Speak to them about Jesus. Tell them how much he loves them.
Amen.
You don't have to tell them they're going to hell.
Amen.
They already know that. Just tell them how much Jesus loves them. Did you have something?
I would just, last night I was just in there. It was Christ night, and I seen a lot of kids there, that I've watched through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I took notice last night, most 8 out of 10, that's all they want,
Amen.
When he met him, he always had a word of love for him. And that's what I want to be.
Amen.
I want to be his instrument.
Amen.
In the world today.
Amen.
Because people doesn't need to be told how bad they are.
Amen. Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. The young man that ministered last night, Sherry was sharing with me that he used to be one of the members of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And Bob said he was always the one that gave him the most trouble. He said, I would have never picked him out to be a pastor. And how many times do we pass over a seed of God? And think they'll never amount to nothing, when that's the very one that God wants you to weed around and dung around and pluck out things around, that they don't get off on the wrong path, so that God can use them for his glory, so that they can manifest the Christ in the earth. You know, I believe that the church has been in a night season, but I believe there's been shepherds on a hillside watching over the flock. God said that he lost none except the son of perdition, which was Judas. But I believe that God's got a protective covering over his flock this morning. There are shepherds that are out there that are feeding people the real word of God. And it's mostly small places like this, because usually somebody that's got a big church with a big name, with, you know, a big organization, are afraid of losing their position if they preach what we preach here. You got to stick to their doctrine, you got to stick to their way, and you got to say what they say to say, rather than to say what God really puts on your heart. So there are shepherds out there. There are shepherds in small places just like Berkeley Springs. Sister Sue told me that a while ago. This was the best kept secret in Morton County. Word of Deliverance. I said, well, they know who we are. They just don't want to acknowledge they know who we are. But how many of you know that there are places just like this all over the world where God's raising up seed, raising up shepherds that are going to follow the star, going to take us to the place where God is. And there's about to be a revelation of things not yet birthed in us. I really believe with all my heart that like I said, there's things in us. We know it's there. There's word in some of you that you know, you could preach a message, but you're afraid you won't do it right, or you won't speak eloquently enough, or you won't have anything to say. But if you get you started on a one-on-one, you can't get a word in edgewise. So I know it's in there. I know it's in there. You just have to let God bring it forth. Praise the Lord. I believe God's raising up a people with a vision to see restoration and reconciliation, and to look beyond now, to look beyond what we see right now, to what God's going to do in the earth in these latter days. I believe God's raising up people like Martin Luther, who was not afraid to nail a thesis on the Catholic Church and said, the just shall live by faith. You know, this is not by works, lest any man should boast. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Hallelujah. It's not by anything I can do or anything you can do. It's all about what he already did for us. So it's just simply believing the God inside of you to do through you what he whispers to you. That's all it is. You just believe it. Just believe what God says to you and what he puts on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So how do I know this is God's plan for the earth? Because his plan's always been to restore paradise. You know, give us back what Adam destroyed. Adam took a garden and turned it into a graveyard. But Jesus took a graveyard and turned it back into a garden. Revelation 22. Verse 1, 2, and 3. I'd like to say before we get started here, this river that flows is a people. And this flow is coming out of your belly. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, or water with life in it. And it's proceeding out. Hallelujah. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Notice that word pure. There's no more mixture in it. No more good or evil. No more mixture. It's pure. Hallelujah. It's proceeding out of the throne of God, or out of a place of rest. Hallelujah. When you come into an understanding of the rest of God, whatever's in you is automatically going to flow just like a river. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And it says, and there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. Somebody tell me what the curse was. The mixture of good and evil. That's what brought the curse. Hallelujah. And there'll be no more mixture. Glory. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Hallelujah. There's two things that's not in this place. The tree of good and evil and Satan. They're not in this place any longer. They've been defeated. They've been put out of the way. Hallelujah. And so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not in this place where we're paradise of God, where God's bringing us back to and bringing restoration. There's four purposes of the church in ending this morning. One is to maintain order in the universe or in society. Number two is to make God's presence known in the earth. Number three, to provide a place where mankind can find God by covenant. And number four, to remind creation of the victory of the kingdom. Hallelujah. The battle's already been won, church. Hallelujah. It's not your battle anymore. The battle's already been won. The battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more mixture, no more curse. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Aren't you glad for that this morning? I don't know about you, but I praise God for what I see him doing in the earth. We're in a strategic time, a wonderful time, and an awesome, terrible time as well. But I praise God for what I see God doing in the midst of it. Sister Jenny and I was talking a little bit yesterday we was talking about the plane crash that killed the Polish president and his wife and most of the higher-ups in the whole country there. And that's a tragic loss, especially to the U.S., because Poland is one of our main allies. They were allowing us to put up a shield for the missiles. And somebody said, well, would that change? He said, no, because the people know us well enough and we're well acquainted enough that that won't change. But I just thank God this morning for what God's doing in the earth and how God has people lined up and in position and in place to bring forth the Son of God in the earth. And if there's ever a day when God needs to be made manifest, it's today. God bless you this morning. Thank you for listening to me.